Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. As individuals, we're pretty comfortable with the laws that govern our day-to-day lives. Don't speed, don't steal, and don't assault anyone. They're intuitive, and we don't have to think much about them. But business law is different. For one, most of us don't grow up knowing how to put it into practice and adhere to it. It's also more complicated and less intuitive than the laws we deal with every day. As a small business owner, you need to realize business law seriously affects how your business runs, from contract law to employment law to tax law to workplace safety law and more. There's a reason lawyers spend all those years in school to understand what's going on. The good news is that you don't have to become a lawyer. You just need to be aware of potential issues and work with your lawyers to make sure you're on the right side of the law. I did some research on the kind of legal mistakes that can destroy a small business. Here is what I found, along with some suggestions on how to avoid the problem. What I'm telling you is only a suggestion. It is not to be construed as legal advice. If you recognize that one or more of these problems is affecting your business, I strongly urge you to seek professional legal advice. Here we go. 1. Choosing the wrong ownership structure. This is your most important first decision when starting a business. It will impact nearly everything you do, including your business plan and how you'll grow the business. The decision you make will impact whether or not you'll be able to accept investors, how many and what types of investors, whether you'll easily be able to sell your company, what your personal legal liability will be, what your tax liability and benefits will be, and many other significant issues. Why is this a problem? If you're going to be looking for outside investment, you'll want to create an ownership structure that's friendly to these investors. You see, most outside investors prefer the stock structure of a corporation or limited liability company, as opposed to a partnership. Selecting the wrong ownership structure might expose yourself to unlimited personal liability for your company's debts. Keep in mind that you will create your ownership structure before you enter any legal agreements or contracts. How can you avoid this problem? Consider the following issues when deciding on what type of entity to start. What are the potential liabilities and risks? What are the anticipated tax benefits from being taxed as a partnership as opposed to a corporation? Do you intend to have outside investors? Do you anticipate selling your company in the future? Are you pursuing a risky business where you might be sued? If you're a sole proprietor, you are personally liable for your business debts. While this is generally the simplest form of ownership, it is also risky. In a partnership, the partners can be personally liable for the debts of the business. One benefit of both sole proprietorship and partnership is that the income or loss from the business flows directly to you. The business doesn't pay a separate corporate tax. To insulate yourself from legal risk, you can form a corporation. Corporations have the most demanding record-keeping requirements and are subject to a separate corporate tax. You also should be aware this corporate tax is in addition to your personal liability for your share of the money distributed by the corporation. As long as you follow all the corporate formalities, holding periodic meetings, keeping good corporate records, etc., you'll generally insulate yourself from personal liability for the debts of the company. Because of the expense involved in maintaining corporate records, many small businesses don't use the corporate ownership structure, although many startups do, because the structure often makes it easier to sell the company. You can get the tax benefits of a partnership and the legal protection benefits of a corporation by organizing a limited liability company, an LLC. LLCs are subject to annual taxes or reporting fees, typically hundreds of dollars, but they have far fewer corporate record requirements than do corporations. 2. Lack of or poor organizational documents. It's not enough to decide on the right ownership structure for your business. If you decide on a structure that requires documentation, such as a corporation, you must follow the formalities and create and maintain such documents. Why is this a problem? not having solid organizational documents or failing to follow corporate formalities, such as for a corporation, you expose yourself to personal risk. Failure to follow formalities could lead the court to pierce the corporate veil. That means the court believes that the corporation wasn't properly established or maintained. That means the court will find you personally liable for the corporation's debts. You will also lose credibility with your investors if they believe you don't know how to properly maintain your entity. If your entity is an LLC, you should have a written LLC agreement. This agreement explains the rights and liabilities of the members of the LLC. LLCs generally aren't required to have a written LLC agreement, but it's a good practice to have one. This way, if you and/or your co-founders or investors or employees ever get into a dispute, you can refer to that document. How can you avoid this problem? Once you decide on the organizational structure, research to understand what organizational documents you'll need to prepare to properly document that structure. Better yet, consult a lawyer. For example, you'll need to file incorporation documents for a corporation or articles of organization for an LLC. You'll also need to register your partnership or sole proprietorship. For corporations, you'll need to determine how many shares of stock to issue. For an LLC, it will be units. Then, of course, you need to know how to allocate them. Make a list of everything you need to do and make sure you've complied with all of the formalities. 3. Lack of proper corporate records. More often than not, founders of startups and small businesses know very little about keeping good corporate records. These records include general corporate tax, employment, human resources, etc. Why is this a problem? If your corporate records are a mess, you may face personal liability for the debts of the company. You also could create problems for any acquisition. In an acquisition, there is a due diligence performed to determine whether your assets or liabilities are as you say they are. Anyone conducting due diligence will have difficulty understanding whether you've properly protected your rights. It could be especially embarrassing if appropriate legal documents required of corporations, for example, don't exist. How can you avoid this problem? Familiarize yourself with the type of documents you have to create and maintain based on the organization structure you pick. With a corporation, for example, there are very specific requirements for the documents that must be maintained. Create a list of these requirements. Create a binder or electronic document that takes the place of a binder. Keep a careful and complete set of all corporate documents. Make sure you pay all annual taxes and file annual reports with your state. Failure to do so risks having your corporation or LLC dissolved. 4. Accepting money from investors without considering security laws. Investors invest in your company, hopefully to return a healthy profit on their investment. And while they sometimes consult their own advisors, it's up to you to make sure that your investment documents comply with security laws. If you don't, you expose yourself to tremendous risk. Why is this a problem? Investors are expecting to make a profit from their investment. If they lose money in an investment, they'll often ask their attorneys to investigate. Attorneys determine whether appropriate disclosures were given and documented under security laws. If they're not, investors may sue and seek treble damages. Security laws are complicated. When dealing with investors, it's important that you consult an attorney. How can you avoid this problem? Consult an attorney. Can't afford an attorney? Consider hiring an attorney who would be willing to counsel you in exchange for a small equity stake in your company. To give you a frame of reference about costs, the legal bill on an investment round can run about $20,000 to $50,000 or more, depending on the deal's complexity. If you are interested in what legal documents are involved, do an internet search for venture capital legal documents. 5. Failing to check founders and employees' non-compete agreements. Many employment agreements contain non-compete clauses. These clauses prohibit an employee from competing with their employer for a period of time after the employment ends. The time frame is typically years. This is a risk for the company's founder and for every employee that the founder hires. They may be restricted by a non-compete clause in their prior employment agreement. Why is this a problem? If your former employer or your employee's former employer believes that the new business is competing or will be competing with them, they won't like it. Depending on the risk they face from you or your employees competing against them, they may threaten legal action. At times, they may file suit. Litigation can be expensive, both in time and money. It's also very distracting. How can you avoid this problem? If you are starting your own business, carefully read your employment agreement. Check to see if there are any restrictions on competition. Doing something completely different from what your current or former employer is doing? That's a good thing, but not a definite answer. Once you've read the agreement, it's a good practice to talk to that employer. Disclose what you plan to do. Often this is sufficient. You can also consult an attorney to make sure you're not bound by a non-compete agreement. Do you have co-founders? Then you should read each other's employment agreements. You want to confirm that none of you are bound by non-compete provisions. Angry former employers can seriously damage your small business. All they have to do is flex their muscle and enforce a non-compete. You should also ask every employee you plan to hire if they are bound by a non-compete in their employment agreement. Request to review a copy of that provision. 6. Weak or non-existent employment and/or option agreements. Many startups and small businesses fail to create appropriate employment and/or option agreements for their employees. This is a huge mistake and can only result in trouble. Why is this a problem? If you don't protect your rights with an appropriate employment agreement, you risk having your employee later leave to compete with you. You can even risk not acquiring intellectual property rights to your employee's inventions related to your business. You also create the potential for disputes because your employees and/or your company's respective rights and responsibilities will not be clearly defined in writing. How can you avoid this problem? From day one, create a form employment agreement that you'll use with every employee. You'll end up using nearly the same agreement for everyone. So if you incur some legal expenses for the first agreement, know that it will come in handy over and over again. Do the same for an independent contractor agreement if you plan to hire consultants. And if you plan to give out options, create an options agreement. Have your attorney create the appropriate agreement forms. Consult your attorney when you need to vary the terms of that agreement. Number 7, not understanding employment law, independent contractor, or employee. Even the individual who starts out as a one-person business may eventually end up employing additional people as the business grows. Once this happens, the business has the added responsibility of ensuring everything regarding its relationship with its employees is handled correctly. Why is this a problem? From the number of working hours and the working environment to time off and dismissals, there likely is a law that regulates these actions. It is up to the business owner to be aware of whatever these laws might be and to ensure their business is not in violation of them. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Whether you have one employee or 100, any labor laws you violate could potentially land your business in trouble. As a matter of fact, if you violate a labor law, the more employees you have, the more severe the penalties may be. How to avoid this problem? Don't feel bad. Even some of the most seasoned business owners get this wrong. You might be tempted to only hire contractors, largely because you don't have to pay the associated costs that come with an employee. After factoring in unemployment, Social Security, Medicare, and other expenses, you're paying between 1.25 and 1.4 times the person's base salary. And that's not considering office equipment and training. No wonder small business owners love contractors. But here's the important part. The IRS doesn't allow you to decide if the person is an employee or independent contractor. You can't treat them like a person on your staff, but call them an independent contractor. If the person you hire meets what I'm about to outline in the eyes of the IRS and the state in which you do business, they are an employee. 1. Behavioral. Does the company control or have the right to control what the worker does and how the worker does his or her job? 2. Financial. are the business aspects of the worker's job controlled by the payer. These include things like how the worker is paid, whether expenses are reimbursed, who provides the tools, supplies, etc. And three, the type of relationship. Are there written contracts or employee-type benefits, that is, pension plans, insurance, vacation, etc.? Will the relationship continue, and is the work performed a key aspect of the business? 7. Weak or non-existent vendor or client written agreements. One common mistake many small businesses make involves vendor and/or client contracts. The basic tenet of contract law is an important one to know when you're running your own business. The fundamental premise of all contracts is that there cannot be a binding contract unless there has been a meeting of the minds. In plain English, this means that both parties should share a core understanding of the contract terms and agree to be bound by those terms. Small businesses often believe that a handshake is sufficient. It is not. Why is this a problem? It is very difficult to uphold a verbal agreement in court. A properly written agreement can protect your interests and your rights. A properly written agreement will also typically save you lots of aggravation and legal expenses of having to enforce your rights. Problems arise in contract interpretation and performance when there is an ambiguous interpretation of the contract terms. How can you avoid this problem? Be clear about what you're signing, as well as what you're agreeing to. If you're able to seek legal counsel, do that. A good attorney should be able to quickly review a written agreement and provide feedback on suggested revisions. Making sure you both understand and agree to contract terms can help avoid disagreement and costly litigation down the road. If the legal expense would be prohibitive, and most small business agreements fall into this category, ask your attorney whether they would recommend any standardized form agreements for you to use, or use a service like LegalZoom. There you can get legal contracts for your business. 8. Ignoring intellectual property or IP. Tech companies and e-commerce companies are especially vulnerable to intellectual property issues. Many small businesses, especially non-tech small businesses, believe they don't have any intellectual property risk. They would be wrong. There are numerous legal cases in non-tech industries involving numerous patents, trademarks, and copyright disputes. These disputes deal with mundane, non-tech products and services. Why is this a problem? If you ignore intellectual property, you may fail to protect your rights and may not properly acquire ownership to the intellectual property. That could be detrimental to your business if that intellectual property may be critical to the future success of your business. Here's an example. Your employee invents new technologies or processes for your business. You may want your employment agreement to clearly specify that they would assign those inventions to you. What if you're licensing your trademark or software to another company? You'll want to make sure that you're giving away appropriate rights and not all your rights. How can you avoid this problem? Intellectual property is a complex area. It's highly unlikely that you'll gain a solid understanding by reading. But you should at least understand the basics. There are two free ebooks you can take a look at. They have been written by Ross Kimborowski, founder of CrowdSpring. Both books are focused on contracts, but have sections devoted to intellectual property and copyright. The books are Contracts for Designers Who Hate Contracts and Contracts for Software Developers Who Hate Contracts. Intellectual property law is inherently complicated. You should consult with a specialized attorney who knows the field beyond general small business legal advice. A qualified intellectual property attorney can help you assess whether or not your business has intellectual property assets that warrant formal IP protection. For example, if you plan to trademark your company's name, you'll want to make sure that the name can be trademarked before you invest time and money in acquiring the URL and promoting your brand. 9. Litigation. Litigation is expensive. Typically, the only people who make out well in litigation are the attorneys. Why is this a problem? Your small business can hardly afford to have you spend a big portion of your time focused on litigation. Moreover, legal fees can quickly mount in litigation. it's not unusual for a company to pay more in legal fees than it would have cost to settle the dispute. And while juries tend to be sympathetic to small businesses, the risk and cost of litigation is hardly ever justified. How can you prevent this problem? Do your best to avoid getting involved in litigation. You can help yourself by seeking legal advice before you make an important decision that could lead to litigation. You can also help yourself by insisting that every agreement include a mediation and/or binding arbitration provision in lieu of litigation. 10. Failing to get legal advice when appropriate. Many small businesses and startups try to save on legal costs by simply avoiding hiring an attorney. Some try to get by on their own by cutting and pasting from legal documents found online. This is a very dangerous practice. You don't know whether the sources are credible or whether the documents you've put together are appropriate and/or complete. Why is this a problem? You could make the wrong decisions or enter into legal agreements that don't protect your interests. Those actions might end up costing you many times more than what it would have cost you to seek legal counsel. In the long run, you threaten the existence of your business if you neglect to ask for legal advice when appropriate. How can you avoid this problem? Attorneys are expensive. Good attorneys are often, but not always, absurdly expensive. However, smart attorneys who regularly counsel small businesses and startups understand that their clients have very limited budgets. But not all attorneys understand this. So, always ask for references and talk to their regular clients, ideally businesses like yours. Ask them, are you happy with the advice, their views about the cost of that advice, and whether they believe the money they spent on legal counsel is money well spent. When you're starting or running a small business, it's important to know the basics of business law that can impact your company. Remember, lack of knowledge is not a defense to an illegal act or regulatory infraction. As a small business owner, you get so caught up in the success and daily operations of your business. It's easy to forget about the legal challenges you'll have to prepare for. You lose sight of the fact that litigation can destroy it far more effectively than a bad day of sales. That's why it's important to seek out small business legal advice from someone who's qualified to give it. To help you locate an attorney, visit the Interactive American Bar Association Lawyer Referral Directory. It's best to always consult with an attorney to provide insight on any legal issues before you commit to a course of action. Hopefully, what I've outlined for you can at least give you a sense of some major issues to watch out for. Again, let me reiterate what I said at the start of this program. I am not an attorney. What I have outlined is only suggestions. It is not to be construed as legal advice. If you recognize one or more of these problems as affecting your business, I strongly urge you to seek professional legal advice. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If you have a comment about this show or past shows, or would like to hear a topic discussed on Score Business Points, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week at the same time for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit southeastnj.score.org. That's southeastnj.score.org. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.